Welcome to Unconditionally.
Unfiltered.
Thought you were starting, sorry.
Today. It's been a while. What?
What are we talking about today?
What episode are we on?
8, I think.
Ooh, good job. Pop quiz, you passed.
Thanks.
Jalen got cut in half.
I did.
How are you feeling?
Feeling sore.
She got cut in half and her abs sewn back together.
And he took a lot of my body off of my body. Like a gross amount.
Like 2 pizza slices worth.
Someone asked if they were shark fins.
Really?
That's really what they look like. It's gross.
She also got a tummy tuck with it due to all the extra skin she had.
Yeah. That's part of this. That's the surgery anyways. They have to cut you that way regardless.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's one reason why we didn't have an episode last week.
M-I-A. I've been in bed for 3 weeks.
And then we also have been selling our house.
Which we talked about on the last episode, I think. Or maybe the one before that.
I don't know if we had it listed then yet,
though. No, we didn't.
So, yeah, we've had a few showings. We had an open house. We've had some crazy days, like yesterday, like an hour before. Realtor's like, home showing. And I'm like, oh no. And I had a very important call at 12:30, so I was scared. But it worked out.
You will survive.
Just crazy. So, today what we want to talk about are walls.
W-A-L-L-S.
And the border. Just kidding, guys.
No politics.
It's not political. And we've talked about themes like this throughout, just sharing our experiences and things like that, but things are just starting to come together a lot more for me. I've had some good experiences and good learnings and things like that. So yeah, I'll probably be doing a majority of the talking today, which is like flipped than how we normally do it.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. You're a talker.
I don't feel like I'm a talker.
Rock, paper, scissors. You're a talker.
Okay, let's go. Let's hear this.
Yeah, so we talked about our journey. And I guess the last episode, coming closer or growing closer by growing apart, we talked a lot about that July time period when Jalen left the church. And that was a very hard time for me. I talked about how I felt in limbo, but I didn't go into a ton of detail. So what I felt like happened during that time, now that I've reflected on it and honestly kind of built bridges over the walls or brought down the walls.
Bridges over the walls.
Yeah, you like build a bridge over, you know, it's like you build a bridge when you...
Or you knock it. I say knock it down.
Knock it down.
You knocked it down.
I mean, I don't think, yeah. Whatever. Overcome the walls. But I talked a lot about the walls with Jalen. And not the walls, but just more feeling disconnected. Ups and downs. Things like that. And I definitely put up walls to her. And I also talked about the walls that I put up with God and spirituality and things like that. And really, at least for me, I put up walls when I want to protect myself. So, yeah. So I felt, you know, we talked about those two walls. The one wall I didn't talk about was my parents. And I just put a wall up, you know, to them as well. I didn't really know. I actually do this quite a bit when I'm going through difficult times. So whenever there's like a death in the family, I kind of just put like a wall up and need my own time to process and just like step away.
Which is so hard for me.
Yeah.
Because when your grandpa died, obviously my instant like reaction was like, I wanted to comfort you, and you just were like, I need to be alone. You like needed to be alone, which was fine, but I learned that very quickly about you.
Yeah, that's just how I process in general, whether it's stress or good things. Like, I don't know.
Do you think some of that is you don't want me to see you cry?
No, I don't think I care about that. I don't look forward to being emotional around people. But I am also just a pretty emotional guy, so I feel like I'm okay with it. Like, I know it's coming, and I just have to, like, I just know it's coming. So.
Keep going.
So, yeah. So, death. My little brother. So, I have a handicapped brother. I don't know if we've talked a lot about that or mentioned it yet. His name's Brayden. He's, like, 6'6", 330 pounds. He's a big guy. Yeah. Anyway, he's just been delayed like his whole life. So, I mean, he didn't start rolling over until he was like one or two. He didn't start like crawling until he was like four. And I mean, I don't remember when he started walking, but it was a while. And maybe I'm way off on these timelines, but so he's just mentally delayed. He doesn't have a big like vocabulary. Can maybe say like 30 words. And some sign language. So, when same year I got home from my mission, so in 2009, in November, he was shot by someone through a house window in my grandparents'. They lived in like one of the retired like trailer parks, so like a nicer trailer park. Yeah, so he got shot through a window. We thought he wasn't going to make it through it. And so that was like a time just where I put up a wall. So just giving some like context in life. But so yeah, I think what helped me break the wall or build the bridge over the wall with Jaylin was just like choosing to be with her and going on this journey. Choosing to go on this journey of life together. So I think that one was like definitely more of a choice. With like spirituality and God, I still feel like there's a wall there, but I feel like, you know, I've taken down half of it with our retreat. That was super healing for me and helpful for me. And then my parents, so it's been about a year. It's just always been... I don't know if I want to say, I wouldn't say like awkward, but you can just kind of feel like some tension.
Just like the elephant in the room, kind of.
Yeah. And so it's been there and we've never really talked. Like my mom tried texting me one time and talking to me about it. And I just told her, I'm happy to chat, but I don't want to do it over like text message. So I just feel like important conversation shouldn't be had over text messaging where you can't feel emotion and intent and things like that. So we finally chatted, was it 2 weekends ago?
Yeah.
So I just had a feeling that I needed to go to my parents and take the kids. And so this was only a few days after your surgery.
Yeah, it was like a week and a half. I think it was my second weekend.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah.
It was. That's right. So I took the kids up, and as soon as I got up there, I could just feel it that we were just going to talk and chat. Like, it was just there. And so my dad came down like right before we were supposed to leave and asked if I could come chat with him and my mom in like their room. I won't get into like details, but at least the only details I'll give is what everyone else in my family was there like. It's like, no, I don't want to chat. Like, I just kind of like pushed it off, but they were persistent. And it was good just to feel my parents' love and where their heart is. And I think it was cool for me just to see how much they do love, the gospel and Christ and things like that. And that it felt like they were coming from love and not shame and things like that. One of the things that I, afterwards, that I just felt I needed to pat myself on the back for, it was kind of the first time I've chatted with them, you know, about, well, I guess what I should say, if I had this conversation with them in the past, I would have felt very just like guilty and shameful and things like that, where I didn't really feel that this time. I think I did feel some of their hurt, which I think is good. Like, I love my parents and I don't want decisions I'm making to hurt and impact them. So it was just a very good conversation for us to have.
And that came through, obviously, like your coaching and personal development and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, over the last 2 years, I've been doing a lot of coaching and or working with a coach, and that's been super helpful. And then it was really good for me. Well, and I guess we kind of just like left the conversation of like unconditional love is what they were, you know, communicating to me. And I felt that, like, you know, they want me to be on this path and it hurts them that I'm not, but that they love me regardless. So it was good. It was touching. I think it really helped heal me. And then I was really able to process a lot of this the next day. Actually, every time I have a coaching call, it's either like right after something impactful like this or right before. That prepares me, you know, similar to when we went on our retreat. I had that, you know, the Monday before I had a coaching call. So it just always seems to line up so well. And it's not like I have a bunch of crazy things happening every month. So
yeah, but it seems like it literally does line up exactly when you need it.
Yeah.
I feel like your coach has been a huge like blessing in your life.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, it's one of the things that I'm like most thankful for, that my CEO and company pays for me to have an executive coach. But it's much more than just, I mean, we for sure, there'll be times where it is more professional, but at least the last 6 times, it's been a lot more about just me personally. And I think it's all connected. So yeah, it's been super impactful. So yeah, I mean, I think that's, for me, it was just very good to process during that conversation, to see that that's just how I respond to situations. Sometimes I can process things quicker and talk it out. Like, normally I don't talk to Jalen like the night I have like a coaching call because I'm still processing.
Well, it's usually like all day. You'll just say, I just had a really good call with my coach. Or when you came in, I was like, have you been crying? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we back up like for 2 seconds?
Yeah.
I want to go back to when you were talking about what you just talked about, because I would get a lot of comments about that and questions on Instagram about kind of how we deal with other people's reactions to our decisions. And I mean, I obviously just said that it was a huge personal development thing for you. And I think for me too, because we can't, I mean, something I've realized over the last year is most people are coming from love, even if it's mean or hurtful or whatever, like it's coming from love because they care about us.
Yeah.
But a lot of people ask, and when we do the question boxes, a lot of people ask, like, how do we deal with that? Because I mean, I obviously have that WTF group and I see it all the time. It's really hard when someone you care about and you love is mad at you or disappointed in you. And like, that's one of the worst things is when someone's like, I'm disappointed in you. It hurts. So I think maybe if you have any suggestions, I mean, for me, I think early on I had to really just say, I can't, like, I know I'm on my right path and I can't control what other people are saying. I can only control my reaction. And then on top of that, just learning to separate their reactions with, I mean, because the guilt and the shame is so real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if someone's guilting you and saying like, I mean, when I first left and I mean, I lost 5,000 followers within like 48 hours. Like I mean, and I was getting messages of people saying, like, I'm so disappointed in you, and just, like, projecting all this stuff onto me and, like, guilt-tripping me and saying, like, don't you want your family to, like, be together forever? And, like, that was, like, really hard for me to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that helps me is just to assume that every person that's reaching out is reaching out in love.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because, I mean, guilt is something that we feel, right? Yeah. They're obviously not feeling guilt when they're telling us that, or maybe they are, but...
Well, do you think they're trying to guilt us? It is coming from love, but they're almost like...
I don't think so.
It's not embedded from how we were taught. Not, I don't think they're doing it on purpose, but I think a lot of people, when they say, like, well, don't you want your family to, like, be together forever? Like, that's for sure guilt.
I mean, maybe. I don't... But I think... I mean, I think about, you know, before the journey, I mean, where we're at now, right? I've had really good, like, best friends leave the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, talking to them about similar things.
Yeah.
And talking, I mean, I guess gossiping about them.
I mean, I remember we had conversations like, oh, I feel so bad for them. They're so lost.
Well, yeah. And so, and I think it's, I don't think that's, like, I don't think we're coming from a bad place.
Well, yeah. I think it's important to remember both sides. And I think if you've been in religion and then out of religion, you can see both sides better versus just being in. Because I would be a hypocrite if I said I didn't ever, like, think those things. I've never messaged someone and said anything like people have said to me. But that doesn't mean I haven't thought it. Like, I totally have thought, oh my gosh, I feel so sad they're lost. Like, they're on this, like, evil path. When that's, I know that's not the truth now. Yeah. But in the moment when I was, like, just in, like, totally into the church, I thought that all the time.
Well, yeah. And I've had close family friends reach out and say things. And, you know, I just thanked them and said it feels like you're coming from a place of love. Like, I'm not gonna.
Oh, yeah.
Argue. And I feel like, I mean, it's hard too when a lot of people, I mean, it either, at least in our culture, religion, whatever you want to call it, you know, it either comes from God or it comes from Satan, right? So it's very, like, black and white. And so, you know, when they see us doing something that is, we'll just say black in this scenario, dark, I guess is a better way to put it. Then I think it does, like, hurt them, and they're, you know, worried how it's going to affect our kids, and they probably see us as being, like, selfish because it doesn't just impact us. So I think there is some emotion behind it as well, but I think at the end of the day, I mean, they care. So
what would be your advice to someone who's trying to, like, separate their emotions with the feedback they're getting from other people? I think that's, like, what people really want to hear from us. I mean, I know we talked personal development. I think it's a choice. Like, we have to decide. I mean, I've gotten to the point, everything was so triggering for me for 6, 7, even maybe 8 months. Like, even just driving past, like, churches and seeing missionaries, like, my stomach just, like, turned.
I mean, honestly, I think probably a good 10 months until we went on our retreat. Not saying you don't get triggered now. No, for you.
Oh.
I've at least noticed, like, a shift.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, if someone talks about the church, you're not like...
It doesn't make me want to crawl in a hole.
Yeah. So I mean, I do feel like you've kind of had the healing when it comes to that.
Yeah, and I think it's a choice, too. I mean, it's not an easy choice, but... I mean, there are some times when it's hard for me not to be defensive, especially when people bring up family stuff. Saunders definitely better at being more, like, level-headed than I am. I definitely have some emotion. I feel like I've been really good at having, like, conversations about stuff over the last year and being understanding, but there are some times when I'll get defensive, especially if it has to do with my kids.
Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it. I think it's just a choice. I mean, I used to have a really bad temper. I still can get a temper, but it's not anywhere what it used to be.
You don't really get a temper with us or the kids.
Well, no, it's like sports and stuff.
It's more towards like
But other I used things. To with my family big time.
Yeah.
I remember one time I told my mom to shut up and my dad tackled me on the wood floor.
I think I remember that story.
But like, yeah, I mean, all growing up, I would just like, I would get like so mad and like put holes in like the doors and the walls, and
jeez,
I was an angry elf. So I think, I mean, a lot of that changed for me on my mission. I think just being exposed to other people and just the experiences I had. I mean, I think you just start to, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's just a mix of, I mean, really it's maturity, which I think comes through experiences and then a choice.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with feeling your feelings. Like if you're mad, like feel those feelings, but you still don't have to respond mad. You can be mad. And I talk about this on Instagram all the time because I've been triggered and like I've cried on Instagram stories and talked through it because I know so many people who've dealt with this. I mean, not necessarily this specifically, but just being triggered. And I talk about it all the time. If you're triggered, that is like when you need to stop and write that down. Like, why did this trigger me? And keep digging. Like, keep asking why. Like, why? And like, work through it. Because if you just let your triggers control you, you'll never get past them. And I mean, I talk to people who've been out of their religion for like 10 years and they still get triggered every once in a while. So I think you just have to be super mindful and always make the decision to deal with it as level-headed as possible. And it's, like I said, it's still fine to feel your emotions. If you're sad, if you're angry, like feel your emotions, but then work through it too.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing along that note, I've been reading The Power of Now. And one of the principles in that is being like the observer. So when you're feeling emotion, almost to like, just like step out of your body or like out of that emotion and just like observe like what's happening. A lot of it is like that emotion, and maybe not the emotion. I think emotion is what it is, but more the reaction to the emotion is usually powered by like the ego. Is a lot of like the principles. So that's been something that I've been trying to practice just when I feel emotional, when I get fired up about something at work or something, you know, like that. It's just good for me to just kind of like step back and really just like observe. And I don't know if I'd say appreciate, but just like observe that the emotion exists and it's there and I can feel things. And where is that coming from?
Yeah, it's all, I mean, we can always choose for every situation to be a learning opportunity.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to conquer that kind of stuff?
I mean, I don't know. Some people don't. I mean, I wouldn't want it. I mean, I wouldn't have cared like when I was 18, right? Or well, even like 5 years ago to some extent. So.
But it's not fun to have things continuously eat you alive and just be like sad and, you know.
Yeah. For sure.
So yeah, but I mean, you're probably right. There's a lot of angry people. I mean, I see it every day on the internet. There's a lot of angry elves, and I think maybe they're fine being miserable. I don't know.
Well, I think that's just the kind of the ego of rationalizing. Like, I need to be angry about this. I was actually listening to
Or I deserve to be angry about this.
Yeah.
And to take it out on other people.
What was I saying? Oh, I was listening to Ben Shapiro on Logan Paul's podcast today. And it was just interesting about just how he was saying so many people choose to be like angry about politics and things like that, where we don't, I mean, we can just be like rational. And guys, if you're far on the right, we're probably not going to get along. If you're far on the left, I'm probably not going to get along with you either. I'm a middle guy, so.
Middle guy.
You guys, you know, can do whatever. I don't know. That's just me in general. I usually just try to see both sides.
I would say you wouldn't get along if it's like crazy.
I don't like when everything's emotional and people can't reason.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I liked about what he said. So.
Or have a good mature conversation about it at least. Instead of just like throwing out like you're an idiot. How could you be on this side? You're an idiot.
And that was kind of like at least one of the points he made.
Yeah.
Kind of what he opened up with that I appreciated. So I think that's just a good place to get to in life where sure, you feel emotion, that's natural, and feel it. And then how do you respond to that? And are you able to be like rational and think through it and understand? So anyway, yeah, it's a good little, good question you proposed there.
Okay, you can get back on track if you remember where you were at.
No, I mean, I think I pretty much wrapped it up, but I mean, I just feel like, I don't feel like this is uncommon. Most of us put up walls. You know, there's lots of psychology around like shadows and things that I think are pretty similar. So these walls create shadows that when we don't address it, these shadows get passed on to our kids. So I think, you know, there's a lot of things that motivate me in life that I don't want to pass on to our kids that, yeah, that I just try to be very intentional about, you know, with self-love with our kids and how they talk about themselves and how they see themselves, you know, things like, it's good for me that I'm starting to understand and be okay with my insecurities and work on them. And I don't know, there's probably some psychologist out there that's like, if you're overly proactive about you're not wanting your kids to have your like insecurities, you know, don't push it like this or whatever. But I think it's just, yeah, I think it's just been good for me to understand my walls, understand my insecurities. And that was just a cool experience to have with my coach to really process a lot of those things with him and get his insights and feedback. And, you know, one thing I appreciated is he was very complimentary about how I tend to see things more like in the gray, that it's not black and white, and I've come a long way.
I appreciate that too.
Thanks. And then he also talked about how it feels like we're, at least me, I'm becoming more like just sensitive to energy and things like that. And that's where, you know, he's like, that's probably why you're wanting to move to the desert. And this guy isn't like a hippie coach by any means, so.
Well, I think anything that's like energy and universe, people just automatically say hippie, so.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
We'll have to do a full episode on your crystals. That's getting real,
oh my gosh,
real hippie. So yeah, I mean, I think I covered it. I think it's just, yeah, I think it's good. It's good for me to talk about these things and hopefully helpful for others that have put up walls to people in their lives or to things in their lives. And you know, I think like Jalen said, just you kind of have to make a choice and kind of have to go out of your comfort zone and do things that you don't want to do. And usually that's what helps us overcome them.
Story of our last couple of years.
And years to come.
Yep. But it's kind of exciting though.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking about that. Like I kind of feel like, just like on the retreat, when it's kind of scary because you're like, I don't know what I'm going to face tonight. But at the same time, it's exciting. It's exciting. You're like, I know, and it sounds crazy, but it's kind of exciting to go through like struggles and challenges because you know it's just going to be so much better on the other side.
Yeah.
Even if it's hard in the beginning and the middle. And I'm more obviously emotional than Sondra is. I can get myself pretty worked up about stuff, especially if it has to do with my kids. So Sondra's usually like the reasoning. I feel like I've grown so much over the last few years, but I definitely still get emotional. Like I said, if it has anything to do with my kids, I can go to 0 to 100 real fast.
Well, I mean, when we watched, what was it? Sound of Freedom?
Yeah.
I mean, that made me very emotional, like angry.
Yeah.
For a lot of it.
It made me all the feelings.
So yeah, I mean, there still are things that I definitely get emotional about. You know, yesterday there was something that got me like super fired up at work and stuff. So it for sure happens more than I would like it to now, especially as I'm trying to just like remove and separate myself from things. I definitely notice how much more emotional I am.
Yeah, I love the energy comment you brought up, because I feel like I've been that way for a long time. Like when we started talking about that and talking about empaths, is that how you say it?
Yeah, something like that. Empaths? Yeah, something like that.
With people just telling me, like, when I was going through everything, telling me, like, you're an empath, you need to, like, read about it. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that is. But then I started reading about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is totally me. Like, this is literally, it says, like, you're not an introvert, like, you're an empath. And you just, like, you soak in all the energy from the room. So that's something I want to work on, is kind of removing myself from, or like appreciating the energy, but not taking it on.
Yeah.
Depending on what's going on, because I can definitely get sucked into the negative energy. Like if I'm around someone who's negative, holy cow. Like it will just turn into my life. So
it's true. Yeah.
Anyways, we could probably do a whole episode on
some other
stuff. So
yeah, let's do another episode on that. We need to set some ground rules. Not with us, with our listeners.
Some ground rules?
If we talk about sex on here, you don't need to go and tell our parents about favorite sexual positions or...
Oh my gosh.
Drunk sex is good. My parents don't need to hear that. That's the last thing they want to visualize about their son. So that's the only... Apparently people have been telling my parents things and...
They listened on the podcast?
I'm like, geez. So that's the only ground rule. It's just, you don't need to tell my parents things.
That should be a given, but unfortunately this is what people do for fun.
So. Well, it's fine. I'm sure they brought it up in like a joking, like sarcastic way, or maybe like a cringy way.
Well, that's just creepy. Period.
No judgments here. But yeah, that's a ground rule. So, okay. Well, I think that covers, I guess, how I was feeling and something that was important to me that I think could help some other people as well.
Yeah, it's a good topic. And I feel like that's really what both of us have been working through for the last little bit.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Follow us on Facebook. Instagram.
Leave us a review. And I don't even care if it's a 1-star review, because our 1-star reviews crack me up.
Yeah. All my haters are people
who don't listen to the podcast. So
all my haters are like really giving us a good laugh. So thanks.
Just leave a 1-star if you want, maybe a 2-star if that's how you're feeling. But yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in. We appreciate the messages on Instagram. And also, what I want to do is do a Q&A episode. We have a message feature. So if you click on the link in our, it's automatically in like the podcast description or in the episode description. That will take you to anchor.fm/unconditionally unfiltered. You can message us through the website or app. So we want to do a Q&A. So send us some voice messages on there and then we can add them to the podcast. But any questions you have, submit them there. We'll also do an explanation on Instagram as well. So you guys can submit questions there too. So, okay. Thanks everyone. Don't play that game, 'cause I'm not gonna wait here like a